You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're wonderful to me. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, trust in Jesus. thanking for your beautiful face, Lord, that's there just beckoning us, Lord. Look to you. Reach out to you, Lord, to guide our steps. Amen. To change our lives. To heal our sicknesses, Lord. Amen, Jesus. We look to you this morning. We look into your beautiful face. And we receive all the love and the beauty that you have for us this morning. All the healing, the touch that we need for our life, Lord. As we sing this song to you this morning, we ask, Lord, that it would be a sweet sacrifice of praise that goes up like a smoke before your throne, Jesus. And that you would receive it, and then in return that you would minister to the needs of this congregation this morning, Lord. Every one of us has needs, Jesus. And we're your precious children, and we're looking into your face this morning. And the things of this world are just passing away, Jesus. But your face is eternal, Jesus. Thank you for that beauty. We stand in that beauty this morning. We worship you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory. Amen, church. God is good. Amen. So all the time and all the time, God is good. Amen. I'm so thankful to God for this awesome opportunity to be able to bring the message this morning. And thank God for Pastor Rafe, for what the Lord is putting in his heart. Amen. And we need to continue praying for him and Carly and the leadership here at the church. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, church. So the Lord is good. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be reading two scriptures this morning. Matthew 9, and we will be reading verses 9 through 13. Amen. And it says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? That's harsh, amen? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Matthew 8, 14 through 17. That's going to be the last portion that we read this morning, church. It says, when Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, "He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning for this awesome opportunity, Father, to be your mouthpiece. Lord God, we continuously ask you to move in this place, Father, especially through your word. Father, you know the needs we have in our hearts this morning, and we pray that in Jesus' name, you will meet those needs, Father, for your honor and glory. And the church says, amen, amen, amen. Praise God, amen. Jesus had been ministering all along this time, church. He had been healing the sick. He had been delivering those who were oppressed by the devil. He had been performing mighty miracles, all with the purpose to show the Jews and the nations that he was Christ, that he was the Messiah, that he was the living God, that God was real, and that God was Emmanuel. God was with them at that very moment. You know, God is with us this morning, church. That's why we sing Emmanuel. He's here with us. He's next to you. He's in front of you, behind you, all around us this morning. And he's in us, church, as well, in our hearts. Amen? Because he is Emmanuel. God is with us. And he had been making miracles and preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. Praise the living God. Amen. And then came a point in which the disciples invite Jesus. Rather, Peter invites Jesus to his house. And Jesus goes into Peter's house. This version reads that when Jesus arrived at Peter's house. But what the Bible says here, church, is when Jesus went into Peter's house, Jesus himself went inside Peter's house. And the first thing that Jesus does, church, is he notices Peter's mother-in-law sick, lying in bed. She had a high fever, the Bible says. So this lady was probably feeling horrible at that very moment. I don't know. I mean, if I'm sure you've been sick with a fever, with a very high fever, you know. And just recently, when my wife and Josiah and I came down with COVID, those were the first symptoms we experienced or suffer, I would say, you know, a very high fever. And I don't know about you, church, but when I have a high fever, I tend to see things, you know. I tend to become delirious, you know. And there's this sense that when I'm trying to fall asleep, which is something impossible to do when you have a high fever, this is my case, this is my experience, you know. I just feel like a ton of bricks falls on me all over and over and over again. Has something like that happened to you before? Maybe, yeah, perhaps. I have a sister who, when she was little, maybe she was 9 or 10, on one occasion, she was burning with a high fever. And all of a sudden, she started to call my mom. And she said, "Mom, Mom, there they are. They are. What, honey?" And then she claimed to have seen these two little men fighting each other, you know, on the floor. I mean, these are things that she was seeing. She was becoming delirious, you know, with the fever. So I'm saying this, church, so you'll have an idea what this lady was going through at that very moment. She was lying in bed. She was suffering. The Bible says literally that she was burning with a fever. But Jesus goes in, church. Jesus goes into the house, and that's the first thing he sees. It says that he saw his mother-in-law sick in bed. He saw it with his own eyes. You know, Matthew is very descriptive and it's very detailed because he was writing to the Jews. You know, Matthew, the tax collector. And he wanted to be as detailed as possible so the Jews could realize and come to the knowledge that Jesus was who really, who he was, who he said he was, the living Messiah, the living Christ, the one that they had been awaiting for so long. And it says that when he went in, Jesus saw her with his own eyes, church. It means that Jesus had eyes and that he was able to see. You know, God has eyes, the Bible says. God sees everything that goes on around the world, church. He's unlike idols. The Bible says that in Psalms, that idols, the idols of the nations, have eyes, but they are not able to see. They have mouth, but they are not able to say a thing. They have ears, ears, but they're unable to hear their requests and their prayers. But our living God, He has eyes and He is able to see. Amen. Maybe you and I did not worship stone idols back in the day. Well, some of our forefathers did. I came from a background where my family worship idols. You know, they went to a place where they would bow down to idols. So I kind of know what I'm talking about this morning, church. But praise God that He was able to deliver us from that. Maybe you didn't come from a background like that. But we had idols in our lives. We had money. We had things we worshiped. Celebrities, TV shows, movies, items, the latest cell phone, perhaps. But we did have things that we worshiped. But thank God that He came into our lives and set us free from that and delivered us from that. And we came to the conclusion that God is the only God worth worshiping and worth serving. He is able to see, church. He sees everything. This morning especially. David, when he was called by God, remember, David, young David, a boy. And the Bible says, and Brother Rafe talked about that a little bit on Sunday mornings for Sunday school, which is something you ought to come to, people, especially the men. Please come to the Sunday school class because you'll be blessed with what the pastor has been going through or has been going over these past couple of weeks. But he talked about David, how David was called by God, but his father despised him and everybody else did because he didn't fit the mold. He didn't look the part. But the Bible says that the Lord told the prophet that God doesn't see the outside. Amen. God doesn't see our appearance. He sees what's in your heart. What's going on in your heart at this very moment? Are we willing to worship the Lord this morning, church? Are we truly seeking Him? Do we have a need in our lives this very morning? I don't know. I'm not able to see what's in your heart, but the Lord does because He's able to see everything. The Bible says that His eyes pretty much literally go around the world, go around the earth to see if there's anyone who is wise enough to seek Him. So Jesus goes into that house, and that's the first thing He notices, that this lady is sick, lying in bed, feeling horrible, useless probably, because that's been my case. You know, when I come down sick, you know, I mean, I feel useless, totally useless. I'm unable to get up. I'm unable to walk. I'm unable to eat. I lose pounds, church. I lose weight. Literally, I do, because I don't even feel like eating nor drinking anything. Because you're in a state in which you're not able to do a thing. You can't even think clearly. And this lady was there lying at that very moment. But Jesus, being the observant God that He was, noticed her. We just sang that a couple of moments ago, church. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look into His wonderful face. But isn't it amazing that Jesus turned His eyes upon this woman and looked into her not so wonderful face, I would say, amen, because she was sick. Isn't it awesome, church, that Jesus is able to turn His eyes upon us? Amen. He fixes His eyes upon us. Praise the living God. And it says here, church, that He saw her. He noticed her, and He did something about that. He touched her hand, and she was healed immediately. She got up. He didn't tell Peter, you know, Peter, do this, fix her a tea, you know, give her this medication. Peter, take her to the doctor, and nothing wrong with those things, you know. No, I'm not against that. Praise God for every one of those things. But He didn't say anything like that, church. He did something about it. He touched her hand, and He got up. And all because Jesus went into that house. All because Jesus went into Peter's home. You know what the Lord is saying to us this morning, church? That there is nothing better that you and I can have in our homes than the presence of the living God. The presence of Jesus in the home. The presence of Jesus in your house, at your table. table when you're eating breakfast every morning. That's something, church, that my wife Josiah and I have been doing for the past several years. When we have breakfast together, and we praise God for that, because I know families that are unable to do that. They're unable to enjoy breakfast together every morning because, you know, we're always on the go, right? Especially in this great nation of ours, you know, always on the go, you know, on the go, on the run. You remember that, Bob, in Nicaragua? On the run, gas stations. He remembers that, you know. I mean, you go in and you're out immediately, on your way to work, on your way to school. But, you know, we have the habit of eating breakfast together and listening to a sermon at the same time. Listening to God's word being preached, or we go through the scriptures before we eat breakfast, because there is nothing better than asking the presence of Jesus to come into your home, church. There is nothing better than being in the presence of the living God on a daily basis. The psalmist writes, church, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Psalm 11 or 16, it says that there is joy. There is fullness of joy in his presence, in the presence of the living God. You know, when you invite Jesus into your homes, you don't even have to ask for prayer. You don't even have to ask for your needs, because Jesus himself will see if there's anything wrong in the home, and he will do something about that. If anyone is sick in the home and you're inviting his presence into it, church, I can guarantee you, the Lord will guarantee you that he will do something about that. If there's need for salvation, church, in your home, you have a son, a daughter who's wayward and who should be here this morning or in any other church in the area preaching the gospel or listening to the gospel. When you invite Jesus into your home, Jesus will see that and will do something about that as well, church. That's the Jesus you and I serve. He will do whatever needs to be done to glorify his name. But we need his presence into our homes, church. We need Jesus in our homes. We need Jesus in our families. We need Jesus at the workplace, amen? And you know, you can bring the presence of Jesus into the workplace. How you do that? By inviting him, church. How do we do that in the home? You invite him in prayer, church. You do a Bible study. You spend some time in prayer with the Lord. Every time you're doing that, church, you're inviting his presence into your home, into your family. A brother last night at the church was testifying at the Spanish congregation that on his way home from Stewart, he was driving his car on 76, and all of a sudden he felt the urge to pray, church. He felt the urge to talk to God. We sang about that just a few moments ago. Remember, have a little talk with Jesus, amen. Have a little talk with him. Little talk. Just have a small conversation with him. Praise him. And this brother was praising God as he was coming home from work. And then he says that all of a sudden something overtook him in the car, you know, and it was the presence of God. And he began to shed tears. He said it's happened to him twice, church, twice in the past. He doesn't understand what happened, but he knew it was God. He knew it was his presence in the car with him. And all his worries, all his cares, all of his concerns were gone for a moment because the Lord had taken them. Amen. Now, does that need to happen every time you pray to the Lord? No, not necessarily, church. Is that doctrine? Is that something that it's on our statement of faith? No, it's not, church. But it's something that the Lord does out of his mercy. And by the way, do you want to know what's our statement of faith? You can look it up on the website. That's where it'll tell you what we believe in, church. What we're doing here in our community. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we invite Jesus, church, into our homes. And the Lord will do something about that. We invite Jesus into our lives as well. We need Jesus in our lives, church. You know, when you first got saved, you invited Jesus into your life. Amen. And Jesus came and he began to fix that which was broken in you. Praise the Lord. I was telling my wife, you know, about the things that I went through when I was little. You know, I got to see a lot of stuff, you know. I'm not going to get into all that, you know, but things that I got to see in my country, you know, with the civil war we went through. Back in the late 70s, 7-year-old, I see my son Josiah. He's fixing to turn 7 next month, and I'm like, God, thank you, because he doesn't get to see what I saw back then at his age, And those things can hurt you, church. Those things can cause deep wounds within you, and you carried them, for so long, up until a moment where you're like, I can't stand it anymore. I can't bear it. But you know what? That's when Jesus came into my life. That's when Jesus can come into your life and take that which is broken and fix it right away. That's when Jesus can come in and heal the brokenhearted and bind the brokenhearted, says another version. We need Jesus in our lives, church, as well. We need Jesus on a daily basis. We need to walk in his presence, church. We need to invite him. We need to invite him into this sanctuary as well, into this church. Jesus needs to be a part of this congregation, church, and he is, let me tell you. He is, and I'm sure you can attest to the same thing that I'm preaching this morning, that Jesus is becoming part of this congregation. We're seeing more of Jesus in this place, amen. This beautiful family that came forward to dedicate this baby. I was thinking, wow, praise Jesus. When was the last time we had a baby dedication, amen? Wow, might have been a while, might have been a few months, I know of churches who do them on a frequent basis, weekly basis or monthly basis, but I was praising God for that, because the Lord is doing something about that, church, amen, praise the Lord. But we need Jesus also in this church. We need his presence here in this place, so that when we go out, we preach the gospel and we proclaim that he is King and he is Lord of Lords, and that there is hope in the gospel. There is hope in the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, church, that Jesus went into that house. He saw Peter's mother-in-law touch her hand, and the fever left her, it says here. The fever was gone immediately, church. The fever was gone at that very moment. There is power in the touch of Jesus. There is power in his touch, Jesus. Amen? Let's allow Jesus to touch our lives. Let us allow Jesus to touch our hearts. Let us allow Jesus to touch our families, to touch our community. Let us allow Jesus to touch this nation, so this great nation of ours will turn back to God, especially during this day and age in which we need him. When Jesus comes into our homes, when Jesus comes into our lives, church, when Jesus comes into our church and community and our nation, there's got to be change. There has got to be a reaction, a response, church. There has got to be hope. Things have got to become different, church. There has got to be something that takes place when the living God encounters us, or when we encounter the living God, whether it's in our homes, in our lives, in our families, in our workplaces, or in our neighborhoods, church. The Bible says here that when Jesus touched this lady's hand, I can just imagine that scene, I can just imagine what was happening at that very moment. The fever left her, her color probably came back because she was probably pale. I know I turn pale when I'm burning with fever, and I'm not myself. I become grumpy. I become, delirious, like I said a few moments ago. And I can just imagine this lady, life was coming back to her once again, church. Yes, life. But now it was the true life of Jesus coming into this lady. And so when that happened, the Bible says, church, in verse 15, that when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and began to serve him. She got up at that very moment. That was her reaction, church. She got up, she stood up, says another version, and she began to minister Jesus. She began to serve the master. She began to fulfill her duties. The duties back there of a woman, of a lady, church, was to serve in the household and The Bible here literally says that she served him something to drink and something to eat as well. That was the custom back there, by the way, Jewish custom. I know customs change and have changed through the years. You know, my wife serves me and she cooks. And by the way, she is an awesome cook. Praise God for that. And she's taught me a thing or two, I'm gonna tell you that, you know. And I can, you know, I can cook a little something here and there, but I'm not as good as her. But when I get the chance to do that, church, I serve her as well. And I serve my son because it's an example. You know, we must serve one another, praise God. But back then, that was the custom. You know, ladies would serve in the home. Ladies would clean the house. Ladies were in charge of the home, basically. And so she began to fulfill her duty, especially to the master, the creator of the world, church. God himself was in that house at that very moment. And she realized that it was him who had touched her life and the fever had left her. So she got up and she began to serve him. You know, the word get up, church, in the original context means to get out of a place, to get out of something that's really bothering you or an inconvenience, you know. I think of David when he writes in Psalm 40, verse 2. Psalm 40, verse 2. This is David writing the following, church. It says that he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked alone. That's exactly what happened to this lady when it says that she got up, she stood up, she was able to be lifted out of that pit of despair, not on her own, not by herself. It was Jesus himself who gave her his hand to lift her up out of that pit of despair in which she found herself. You know, some of us, I want to say the majority, maybe all of us were found in a place like that at one point in our lives when we didn't have Jesus in our hearts. We were deep sinking in a pit of despair, hopeless, like I was. At one time, I remember, you know, and I witnessed about that. But then all of a sudden, I saw the hand of the master. You saw the hand of the master in your life that lifted you up out of that pit of despair in which you found yourself, church. And guess what? He just didn't lift you out of that pit of despair. But like David testifies, church, he set your feet on solid ground. You and I are now standing on solid ground at this very moment, church. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're feeling, because this is not because of feelings or emotions. Yes, they do play a part in the gospel. Yes, because we're not robots, church. We're not machines. We were made in the image of God, and God is emotion. God is feelings. He gets angry at the wicked, the Bible says, but it also said that he has mercy on the sinner, on those who repent. Like yourself and me, church, we repented, and he lifted us out of that pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he set us on solid ground. You know what that solid ground is? Jesus himself. He is the rock of ages, church. Amen. We need our families to stand on solid ground. We need our families to stand on Jesus, the rock of ages. This church needs to stand on solid ground, church, on Jesus Christ himself. Praise the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. It set his feet on solid ground. And that's exactly what happened to this lady. She was lifted out of that pit of despair and she began to serve the Lord. But you know, when it says that she got out, when it says that she got up or stood up, it's also trying to say that she was awakened. She was awakened. That's another definition for that word, church. This is really neat. She was awakened because she was asleep, asleep spiritually, you know, and also because she was sick. You know, when you're burning with a fever, you want to sleep, but you can't. You try to get some rest, but you're unable to, right? You try to disconnect for a moment from reality or from the world so you can recover and you can come back to life, but you're unable to. So basically, you're asleep. And this lady was asleep, spiritually asleep, church. And you know, that same word, sleep, it's found in Romans 13:11. When Paul writes to the churches, Romans 13:11, writing to the churches, to the brothers in Christ, who at one point in their lives were in a pit of despair, and Jesus came and saved them out. He saved them. And it says here, church, Romans 13:11, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. You know, it's really late, speaking spiritually. Meaning that Jesus is coming back really soon, church. He could be coming back this morning. Amen. Are we awakened this morning? We better be awakened. We better be up this morning, church. It says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Wake up. There's that word. Wake up, or get up. Or be lifted up. That's another meaning for wake up. Wake up, says Paul to the churches. The Lord is telling us this morning, just like that lady was awoken, and she woke up, and she got up, and she stood up because she realized it was her time. Jesus is telling us the same thing this morning, church. This is our time. This is our day. You've come to the right place. You are in the right place this morning because the Lord is here this morning, church. And He is telling us, He is urging us to wake up because the time is running out. And it is really late, church, to wake up. Because our salvation is much nearer than when we first thought. You know what that salvation talks about, church? When that trumpet sounds, amen. And I hope it's really soon because I'm looking forward to that trumpet blast. That trumpet is going to sound, church. And we usually sing on Saturday nights a song that goes, I don't know where you're going to be at. Are you going to be in church? Are you going to be home? Are you going to be at work? But what are you going to do when the trumpet blasts? And the Lord asks us the same thing this morning. Where are we going to be at? What are we going to be doing? Are we going to be up? Are we going to be awake? Or are we going to be spiritually asleep? Many in the church need to wake up at this very moment. There has been so much complacency in the church. Not just here, but churches everywhere. There has been so much spiritually complacency, church. There has been too much comfort in our churches that I praise God every time I've gone back to my old former country of Nicaragua. When I've been there with Bobby and Brother Craig and Roger. You remember that time we went, brother. And you know, and I see brothers and sisters there worshiping God with the little they have, with so little, you know. But they're up and they're awake and they're anticipating that very moment when the trumpet will blast and it says here, we will be there. It's closer than we thought. Yes. So we need to wake up this morning. You know, another word for get up, church, and or stand up. What that lady experienced that morning, another word for that is to come back from death. Come back to life. That's another word for that. Come back to life. This lady, church, literally came back to life because she was probably almost dead. Remember, there were no medications back then, you know, no penicillin, no antibiotics, you know, none of that good stuff that we're able to take these days. Praise God for medicine, by the way, amen. Praise God for doctors, for hospitals, for science, you know, because all of that backs up what the Bible has to say. Science doesn't contradict the Bible, by the way, amen. Science confirms what the Word of God has to say, church, amen. But you know, when there's no medication around, when there's no medicine, no doctors in the area, what do you do when you're almost dying? What do you do? I remember just a couple of years ago, you know, when my dad passed away, it hit me so hard, church, you know, that I began to, you know, experience heart problems. You know, if any of you have ever experienced that, you know how no fun, amen, you know, nothing to mess around with your heart. And they were nights, church, they were nights in which I wouldn't be able to sleep. I was just tossed there in the couch, you know, just crying, you know, weeping, grieving the loss of my father. And at the same time, dealing with that situation. And I remember, church, you know, and this is to the praise, to the honor of God. One night, about 11:30, I felt something touch me, you know. And it was Josiah. He was just 3 years old. And he said, "Daddy, Daddy, it's going to be okay. God is in control," you know. And I said, "Lord, you got to give me life. I got to get up from this in the name of Jesus, because there is so much to be done, Lord God. You are not finished with me yet, just like he is not finished with you, church. Just like he was not finished with that lady, church." And that lady came back to life. That's what the word "get up" means. She got up. She came back to life. And that's what the word says, church, that with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Colossians 2:12, church. Some of us need to come back to life this morning, I tell you, church. Some of us in the church need to come back to life in Jesus' name, because we're spiritually dead here or anywhere else in the churches. But that's okay, church. We're not judging, but we're given hope in Jesus' name. You feel that way this morning, let Jesus touch your life at this very moment so you can come back to life. You know, he who is dead will come back to life spiritually when Jesus touches him, and even literally, church, because it's happening in other parts of the world. The dead are coming back. Amen. I believe that. I believe in signs and wonders. I don't follow them. No. We're not supposed to follow signs and wonders, but they are supposed to follow us, God willing, whenever he wills it. Amen? It's something that it's in the Bible, and it's happening in other parts of the world. But spiritually speaking, church, if we're spiritually dead, we can come back like this lady came back from the dead and arose in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says that she served him. She served them. The Bible says, church, just a chapter ahead, and I'm fixing to wrap this up. Just a chapter ahead, there was a man named Matthew. He was a thief, by the way, because he was a tax collector. You know, back then, they were allowed to steal from people. They had basically a license to steal because they would overcharge folks, you know, and whatever they overcharged, they kept to themselves. So it was very profitable. And a lot of people went into that profession, you know, being a tax collector. They didn't care. But the thing was that they were hated. They were despised by the Jews. They were expelled from the synagogues. They could not become judges. They could not become witnesses in a trial. Even their families suffer because of their ill reputation, church, but they didn't care. They were sinners because they stole, and they were, you know, compared to sinners. And he was there on one occasion sitting at the table collecting taxes, and all of a sudden, here's the master, the same guy who had gone into Peter's house, church, and had lifted that lady out of the mirror, out of the mud, out of the pit of despair in which she found herself. And he goes by. Here's the master going by, and he sees Matthew, and he says, "Follow me. Follow me." And you know what happened, church? It says that Matthew immediately got up. That word for "follow me," church, means get up, stand up, and become my disciple. Stand up and follow me, and I will show you living rivers of life. Amen. And the Bible says that Matthew got up and he followed them, church. He left everything that he knew, everything that he was familiar with, and began to serve the master. And you know what, church? As proof of that, we have the gospel that bear his name. The gospel of Matthew. Here we have Matthew, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing this book, church. as proof of what God has done in his life, all because he had obeyed. He had gotten out of that place where he found himself at one moment and began to follow the master. Are we doing that this morning, church? We've heard a call from Jesus this morning to stand up, get up, stop being in that place, quit being in that place, feeling sorry for yourself when I'm no longer feeling sorry for you. Isn't it awesome, church, that the Lord is willing to fix his eyes upon us. He's willing to fix his eyes upon your family. He's willing to fix his eyes upon your babies. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't deserve it. None of us deserve that, church, because the Bible says we all have sinned and we have fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark in this place. It doesn't matter who we are, where we came from, who our ancestors were, what race we are. God doesn't see that. Remember, church, God sees the heart. God sees what's in us. He sees what's inside of us, what's our need. So the Lord has gone out of his way to come to a place like this and say, get up and follow me. What's going to be our reaction, church, this morning? Are we going to stay comfortable where we are? Are we going to stay complacent? Are we going to say, yes, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but I'm okay here? Are we still going to be in the same sin, besetting sin that we're in? You know, some in the church are struggling with sin. And the Bible says that without holiness, nobody will see God. Amen. Nobody will see the Lord without holiness. But if we have a besetting sin in us this morning, church, whether it's something that we're looking at online, which we shouldn't be looking at, you know, it's incredible all the filth that's available on a little device. You know, back in the day, they say, you know, you needed to have cable or go here, go there. But now these days, you know, all that filth can come into our homes in a little device like this, church. And some in the church are hooked on that. But let me tell you, the Lord is telling you to get out of that pit of despair because he's extending his hand this morning. What's going to be our reaction, church? Are we going to stay where we are, or are we going to begin to serve him? There is so much to do here, church, by the way. There is so many places where you can serve at this very moment. You know, Pastor Rafe and Carly, they should not be here. Don't tell them I say this, but they shouldn't be there this morning. They should be here worshiping. He should be here receiving the word from God. From God, not me. Amen. It's God speaking. But we need workers, church. We need people who will answer the call and say, you know what, Jesus, you touch my life, you heal me, you deliver me from oppression, you set me free from the bondage of sin, from that addiction which I struggled for so many years. Here I am. What can I do for you, Jesus? Are we willing to answer the call this morning, church? Amen. Let's all stand and praise God and worship him, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 the altar is open this morning. If you have a need this morning, if you feel in your heart, answer the call of God, the altar is open this morning. Or you can make an altar right there where you at. You can just raise your hand, close your eyes for a moment, and have a little talk with Jesus, the living God. Not with me, not with your neighbor, but with Jesus himself. Do you find yourself this morning in a pit of despair? Maybe you're unable to get out of that pit of despair this morning. I have news for you. You won't be able to do it on your own. But I know someone who can. I know someone who's willing. And I know someone who will do it if you call out to him. His name is Jesus. Do you need healing this morning, church? God is still in the healing business. God is still in the miracle business, church. That's the awesome thing about God. He is real, amen. Woo, he is God. He is willing this morning, church. Just have a little talk with him this morning as we go before him for a few minutes. What an awesome thing to be able. What an awesome opportunity to be before God this morning, to be able to praise him, to be able to pray to Him, to be able to lift up your family, to be able to lift up your loved ones, to be able to pray for salvation of for your spouse, for your kids, to be able to pray for blessings upon your family and your home, to be able to pray that the Lord will open the windows of heaven and help you with the situation that you're dealing with now or that you will be dealing with tomorrow. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Father, and we thank you for this wonderful, powerful word, Lord God. It is your word. It is the gospel. It is the good news. And I thank you, Father, because you came and you extended your hand. You gave us your hand. And Father, you lifted us out of the pit of despair, just like you did with that lady. Thank you, Father, just like you saved Matthew. You've saved us, Lord God. But we don't want to be complacent, Father, this morning. We don't want to be still. There has got to be a response in us, Lord God. There has got to be movement continually, Lord God. There has got to be continuous movement in our lives, Lord Father. We read that this morning in Hebrews, Father, that we can offer up sacrifices of praise continuously, Lord God. May that be the case in us, Lord. Father, may we be able to praise you, Lord, day and night, like they praise you up in heaven, Lord Father. Lord God, if there's anyone here this morning that is struggling with anything at this moment, Father, any brother, any sister struggling with sin, Father, and that he finds him or herself in a pit of despair, Father, I just pray, Lord, that with your hand you will be able to lift her up and set her on high ground, set her on the rock of ages, which is you, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for anyone in this place, Lord, who has not received you as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you would touch his heart, touch her life, Father, so that she can open up her heart and receive you as Lord and Savior of her life, of his life. Thank you, Father. I praise you, Lord God. We pray for healing in the body. We pray, Father, Lord, for comfort, Lord God, spiritual comfort, that is, those who are suffering at this very moment. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray and we worship you. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. We're going to be here just for a few moments. If you've got something that you need prayer for, I'm going to stick around for a few moments. My brother Craig's going to be here too as well. And so anything that's on your heart this morning and that you'd like to share with me, we'll pray together, you know, and we'll believe God this morning. Amen. Other than that, just have a wonderful rest of this day and have a great week. Amen, church. Praise God. Praise the Lord.